God bless us, everyone. This is the Christmas Stocking. I'm Lee Cameron. Are you ready for the holiday? Me too. And me neither. I don't think everything's going to get done this year. Let's go to the Christmas Stocking email bag, shall we? Mark Luttrell, an architect from Little Rock, Arkansas, writes, I am currently catching up on last year's podcasts. I love the amount of in-depth research you do on all the history. Oh, Mark, if only you knew. I love the season, especially the music. I usually listen to driving, aggressive, hard rock. However, at Christmas, I go traditional. You know, Bing Crosby, Nat King Cole, Amy Grant, Celine Dion, Kenny G, and the best, Vince Guaraldi, Charlie Brown. I'm with you there, Mark. My friends are stunned to see this change for me for a whole month. My music taste for Christmas was formed during the family travels. It was Dallas Christmas Eve with my mom's family, and then up and out of the house by 8 o'clock Christmas morning to get down to Waco as soon as possible. We always listen to a couple of hours of the Christmas channel on the radio. Whenever I hear the classics, I am transported back to that cold morning after a night of good food and presents and the anticipation of the next event with my dad's family. I know this has little chance of getting on since it is so late in the season, but there is a line in a song that has always bugged me. You might be the person that can figure it out. You may have, I just might not have gotten to it yet. In the song, It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year, there are the following lines. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. Scary ghost stories and tales of the glories? When were these ever a part of the Christmas tradition? It has always bugged me. Also, when I'll be home for Christmas, I have heard presents on and under the tree. I finally have figured out that the gifts part of Christmas is relatively recent and has probably grown exponentially in the last 30 to 40 years. Thanks for the podcast. I am hooked. Mark A. Luttrell, AIA, architect. Wow, Mark, thank you. Thank you for all your kind words and just for emailing me at topelf@mychristmasstocking.net. And you are not only not too late, your timing was perfect because I am going to discuss one of the most famous ghost stories in the Western Hemisphere, Charles Dickens's A Christmas Carol. First, though, to answer your speculation on where Christmas gifts have gone, I can't believe I didn't cover that in the Christmas tree episode, number 3. But I didn't. You are correct. It was the custom, and I'm sure still is the custom in some places, to put smaller gifts on the tree, like mittens, small toys, and games, stuff that might go in the stocking now. I sometimes get money on the tree. Queen Victoria and her family put their gifts under the tree, but they were rich royalty after all. You know, I could do a whole nother episode on Christmas trees, and then another one on Christmas gifts. Maybe next year. Now, let's get scary. Okay, maybe not that scary. 164 years ago, the world was introduced to A Christmas Carol. Charles Dickens was hurting for money that fall, with a fifth child on the way, family hitting him up for money, declining sales on his monthly serial, Martin Chuzzlewit, and a large mortgage on a nice home, I'm sure, had stretched his budget to the breaking point. He needed a hit. At the same time, Charles was becoming very aware of the problems of the poor and supported organizations that helped the poor. Poverty was a huge problem in England. Too many children were dying young, and those that survived weren't educated and had no hope to improve their lot when they grew up. He decided to make them a central theme in his story, to really raise awareness. He began writing in October and finished around the end of November. In the episode on the Nutcracker, I mentioned Tchaikovsky didn't like his music. That wasn't the case with Dickens. He really got into his story and was passionate about it. Cried and laughed and walked for hours on end thinking about it. At least that's what he said. Then again, maybe he was the consummate marketer. I don't know. Now, Dickens wasn't getting along with his publisher, possibly because he wasn't selling as much as he had. Times really haven't changed, have they? Anyway, he paid for production himself. He loved the story, so he gave it some fancy pants production values. A gold-stamped cover, hand-colored etchings, a whole 9 yards. And then he went and charged just 5 shillings, so the average Joe, average Nigel, could afford it. Since A Christmas Carol was finished at the end of November, there wasn't much time to get it out. It came out December 19th that year, and it didn't make much money considering. The profit margin was really thin, and sales, while excellent, might have been somewhat lower than they might have been because of all the pirated editions. There was no DRM back then. And that didn't make Dickens happy. He was campaigning for international copyright laws before he had written that story, and he spent more money fighting the pirated copies than he actually made on the book. In spite of that, or maybe because of it, the story endured, so that Dickens performed many readings of it later in life, and it has lasted to this day, of course. A couple of things that have come out of A Christmas Carol? Merry Christmas! You know, folks hadn't really said that prior to the story. And the focus on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, and less so on the 12 days of Christmas and Three Kings Day. So, what's up with the ghosts? Dickens wrote a bunch of stories with ghosts. They were pretty popular in Victorian fiction, especially in dreams, which you could say Ebenezer Scrooge was experiencing. Charles Dickens liked to play with them, mostly in his lighter writings. It's actually that simple, really. By the way, I think the tales of glories from Christmases long ago is just the fact that we talk about our past Christmases. Most stories about Christmas are from past times, and of course, the original story of Christmas is pretty glorious, too. Now, don't be mad, but I feel like I've been very acoustic and classical in my music the past few episodes, and I like to change things up. And there's this really cool, fun Christmas song called Christmas Song by Greener that I think you're really gonna like. Christmas Song. It came out last year, at least that version did, but it's still around after over a million downloads, and a portion of the proceeds of the sales of these songs will go to Lifebeat, a charity dedicated to reaching America's youth with the message of HIV/AIDS prevention. That's very cool. I would love to hear from you. You can email me, like Mark did, at topelf@mychristmasstocking.net. Top Elf is all one word, and so is My Christmas Stocking. topelf@mychristmasstocking.net. Lots of show notes for all the episodes can be accessed through mychristmasstocking.net. If you want to go deeper into A Christmas Carol, there's plenty of show notes for this episode. Just click the player on the left at mychristmasstocking.net. You can also call 206-984-1070 and leave me a message. 206-984-1070. One more episode, and if all goes well, it will be out by Christmas Eve. If not, then maybe somewhat after Christmas Eve. We'll talk about a different kind of miracle in the Christmas stocking. I'm Lee Cameron, and I'll leave you with this quote from A Christmas Carol. It is good to be children sometimes, and never better than at Christmas, when its mighty founder was a child himself.